So this morning I want to spend a few minutes talking about what to expect. What are some of the wonders? We hear about the seven wonders of the world. Let's talk about the seven wonders as we consider heaven this morning. And I think wonder number one is just the very fact that heaven does exist. Rest assured, my friends, there is a heaven. That's what the Spirit revealed to the Apostle John. So let's go back to that book of Revelation. Let's pick up that story in chapter 21. I'm going to start with the first verse, and let's read on down through verse 5. Again, Revelation chapter 21. It begins like this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. How did he end that? These words are true and faithful. They're not just some symbolic language. They're not something that is made up or invented. Heaven is a real place. We didn't make it. God made it. And he prepared it for you, and he prepared it for me. And from what we just read, it is new, and it is beautiful. The poem goes like this. Think of stepping on a shore and finding it is heaven. Think of taking hold of a hand and finding it is God's hand. Think of breathing new air and find it is celestial air. Thinking, feeling invigorated and finding it is immortality. Think of passing from storm and tempest to an unknown calm. Think of waking up and finding it is heaven. So here we have a city that's not made with hands. So it never wears out. Its inhabitants are too vast to number. And God is right in the middle of it. We can expound upon what he's saying here in this language about no more this and no more that to say there's probably no hospitals that are not needed. No cemeteries. No prisons. No mental institutions. No crime. No pollution. No hurricane. No floods, no earthquakes. And more than that, it says there are no more tears, no more crying or pain, because there's no more death. In heaven, we're going to receive a new body. And all the aches and pains that you and I suffer today are going to be gone. There's going to be no more cancer. There's going to be no more Alzheimer's disease. There's going to be no more blindness caused by diabetes or whatever. All the disabilities and the limitations of this decaying, aging, finite body are going to be gone. They're going to pass away. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, in chapter 15, beginning in verse 42, it describes a little bit about what this is. When it says, So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. And there is a spiritual body. Go back to Revelation 21. When the angel came to John, it said in verse 9, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. As you read through the end here of Revelation, there seems to be more emphasis on the vastness or the greatness of the size of the city. Big, big city. Big space for a lot of people. If you want to convert all the cubits that are involved here, you're talking about a city here that is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles deep. That's halfway across the United States. Square that up and put it up 1,500 miles into the air. Hundreds, thousands of times bigger than any metropolitan area that we may have today. The scale extends far beyond our imagination. As you read on, the foundations are all jewels, valuable jewels. Scholars argue and differ on what these stones actually are, because over a period of thousands of years, generations of civilizations have all given different names to different stones. So we don't know exactly what they are, but we do know that there are 12 gates, and each gate is a single pearl. The streets, it says, are paved with gold, so pure that they reflect like a mirror, like glass, almost transparent. Crystal pure water flows through the city. So as you get that word picture in your mind, what do you think? It is some kind of a garden, some kind of an oasis. There are glimpses here that invoke images of the Garden of Eden again. Little girl was walking with her daddy one night. The sky was clear, and she looked up and saw the stars and explained, "Oh, daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be?" It is beautiful, incomparable beauty. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." That's a wonder, just the fact that it exists. But consider a second wonder this morning, and that is the wonder of its character. Heaven is a place of purity, a place of holiness. It is sure different than the place in which you and I live, in this world, in this country, in this community. Revelation 21, verse 27, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Simply put, it is a place without sin. Can you imagine living in a place without sin? And therefore, it's a place without sin's consequences. A place without war, without hatred, without crime, without punishment, without disease caused by crime. Goes on to explain who's there and who's not in Revelation 21, verse 8. It says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." Trisha and I live in a gated community. Many of you may as well. I guess we feel secure, but I can guarantee you that it doesn't keep out the filth and the unjust and the sinners. But heaven's wall keeps them out. Go back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. If you read real close in all of this account, though there are gates, the gates are open. You have a restriction that keeps you from getting in. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you cannot enter. The ticket for entrance is our obedience to His Word. Let's consider a third wonder this morning. The wonder of the throne. Go back to Revelation 21, verse 5. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. C.S. Lewis wrote it this way. Heaven offers nothing that a mercenary soul can desire. It is safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for only the pure in heart want to. The main thing about heaven is not its glitter and its gold, its precious jewels. It's the presence of God. Over in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, you may recall these verses beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But later in that chapter, in verse 23, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I mean, it's one thing to go rent a room in a motel if you go visit somebody. It's an entirely different feeling when those people invite you into their home to stay with them. In heaven, what God is saying is, come, stay in my mansion. I've built it for you. Go back to the end, to Revelation chapter 22, almost the last verses, beginning in verse 16, he writes, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. God, Christ, the Spirit, all saying they want us to come to stay with them. So the Bible describes this in a very personal tone. Heaven, it's not just gold and precious jewels. It's the very presence that we will have before the throne where sits our Heavenly Father. Go back to Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's the goal. What a wonder. Let's consider a fourth wonder this morning. the wonder of heaven's welcome to us if we come. Jesus loved to teach in parables. You know that. And over in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 15, he gives us three very memorable parables. All of them tell about, in one way or another, the reception that we're going to receive when we secure our ticket to go through those gates. Beginning in verse 4 of Luke 15, he talks about the parable of the lost sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost? And he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. There's rejoicing in heaven. Look down beginning in verse 8 at the parable of the lost coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Finally, you remember the long parable. We won't read it all. The parable of the lost son, if you would. Just look at a few verses beginning in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. That's the way the angels and God will greet you. You're going to be received into heaven with open arms. It is a place of rejoicing. You remember that verse. You may have learned it as a child. Turn with me to John 3, beginning in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's their goal. That's their desire. That's their cry. Come. Let me remind you of a fifth wonder. The wonder of who will be there. One elderly believer wrote it this way. "As a boy, I thought of heaven as a city with domes, spires, beautiful streets inhabited by angels. By and by, my little brother died. And I thought of heaven much as before, but with one inhabitant that I knew. Then another died. And then some of my acquaintance. And so in time I began to think of heaven as containing people that I knew. But it was not until one of my own little children died that I began to think it had treasure in heaven myself. Afterward, another went. And yet another. By that time, I had so many acquaintances and children in heaven that I no more thought of it as a city merely with streets of gold, but as a place full of inhabitants. Now there are so many loves there that I sometimes think that I know more people in heaven than I do here on earth." You ever thought about heaven? It will be your opportunity, should you and they be there, to be reunited with departed loved ones. Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe friends from past years, maybe your spouse, maybe your children who died before you. Heaven's going to be one grand reunion for those that are redeemed. All the more reason to secure your place in heaven. To work, help your family to secure theirs. Let's think about a sixth wonder. The wonder of who is not going to be there. The Bible does make it clear, despite what the world may want to tell you today, not everyone goes to heaven. That's just what it says. John 14, verse 6, he put it very simply. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You're going to try to get to heaven without Christ? Christ said, "A ticket isn't going to be any good." Think about that. You can go to heaven without health. You can go to heaven without wealth, without fame, without a great name, without learning anything, without beauty, without friends, without 10,000 other things. But you can't go to heaven without Christ. Go back to what we read in Revelation 21, verse 27. Not everyone is going to heaven. It says, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God keeps a roll, apparently. It must be a big book. Not a roll kept by me, not by this congregation, not by any man or any earthly institution. I can't help but think there's going to be many surprised to find out that they aren't able to get through the pearly gates because their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One last wonder this morning. I wonder why more people don't prepare. Revelation 22, verse 17. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Whoever desires may come. See, the price of the ticket has been paid by someone else, Jesus. Reservations are now being taken. They are available. You know, there's some choices in life that we don't make. We don't make the choice to be born. For that matter, we don't make the choice to die. We don't even make the choice to spend eternity. Yes, all of us will spend eternity. The question is, where do we spend it? It's another whole sermon. There is a heaven. There's also a hell. The question becomes, which do you choose today? This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation, and Christ invites you to be a part of His kingdom, the church. To receive your ticket, if you would. Make your reservation. He says, come to me through faith. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. Repent of your sins. Willing to confess that faith. You're willing to be immersed so that those sins can be washed away. And rise and live Christian life, waiting for that day, which could be today. Come if you will.